Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Inspire Before We Expire show. I am your host, Terrell Sumter. Guys, I'm truly grateful, and thankful to be here. Another day, another week that's never a promise. Today, I got a special treat for you all. Oh, man, me and this gentleman here, we've came a long way. Since a friend, a new father, a husband, all incredible individual. Serial entrepreneur, someone who has traveled, someone who loves and enjoy being a service to others, someone who just truly loves just giving time, just giving back and seeing others win. So I'm truly grateful and thankful to bring my dear friend, somebody I've also learned from along this journey, from life to health to business, you name it. And I'm truly grateful to bring him on. As we know, the third time is always the charm. So, guys, I want to introduce you to my friend coming out of Travisford, Michigan, my guy, the one and only Mr. Luke Hessler. Luke, welcome back to the Inspire Before We Expire, man. The third time is always the charm.
That's right, man. Thanks again for having me. It's great to be here.
Absolutely, good brother. Thank you for being present and taking time from your busy schedule. I know that you are a new father, man. So, congratulations on that, too, as well. You and Maddie just had a beautiful, adorable little girl, man, or so. So I'm happy for you, man, as
Thank
well.
you.
So Luke, man, this is the third time, good brother. So I'm just grateful to be here with you to share another dope conversation, with our audience out there, bro. So I
Yeah.
wanted you just to, bro, basically just dive in, man, exactly like just the times that we in right now. Like we talked about the other day, the economy. Or so, man. So if you can go into that, like how people can go from the state of being not panicking, but pivoting in these times of uncertainty that we're currently living in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that in the times that we're living in right now is the greatest opportunity of humankind ever. We live in a time where anybody who has a cell phone and access to Wi-Fi has the ability to build a business and become a millionaire. Doesn't matter if you're living in a third world country, you have access to information that wasn't available in the Library of Alexandria. And you have access to mentorship that wasn't available to anyone, before the internet. And I think that this is one of the most unique times to be alive. I think that there is unbelievable opportunity, but I also think that there's unbelievable distractions. I think that there are also challenges because the systems that are in place aren't necessarily structured in order to support the digital economy. I think that we're transitioning. If you look back in history, like let's just say in America, which is a very young country, we went through a few ages. We went through the agrarian age where 90% of people were farmers. And at that time, technology came around where tractors were invented, and everyone thought tractors were horrible because, now the job that took 10 men only took one man. And it was like, oh my gosh, all the jobs are gone. And everyone thought tractors were the worst thing ever, right? And then, we evolve and we transition and we eventually move into this thing, called the Industrial Age. And this is, when this concept of the 40-40-40 plan came in, right? Where you work 40 hours a week for 40 years of your life to retire around 40% of your income. And this is when David Rockefeller created the school system, and we were designed, I guess we were given the system for success, which is go to high school, get good grades, go to college, get good grades, make a resume, apply for a job, and then you do the 40-40-40 plan that I just kind of talked about. And the big dream at that point was being able to get hired by a large corporation that had great benefits, and that was the whole idea of success. But the challenge nowadays is that with the new onslaught of technology, with the internet, with AI, with a lot of this very disruptive technology, a lot of the jobs that were considered quote unquote safe and secure back in the day are no longer all that safe and secure. And so nowadays, I think that the best way to become successful is to invest in yourself and is to learn skill sets that you can then go and monetize. I think that anybody, again, with a cell phone with access to Wi-Fi can learn how to be able to sell online, can work with a company, can begin making money. You can create digital products, you can do drop shipping, and you can leverage projects from overseas, and you can get mentored by people who have already made millions and millions of dollars. And so, while yes, this is a very difficult time in a sense, because the old plan of, getting that high-paying job and all of that kind of stuff isn't necessarily the way to success nowadays, especially when you look at the school system. A lot of people are graduating with a ton of debt, and that, diploma isn't necessarily getting them the high-paying job that they wanted. But on the flip side of that, massive, massive, massive opportunity for those people who are willing to open their eyes and look in I would say some places that other people aren't willing to go out there and look. So that's kind of my perspective on everything in this current kind of state of the economy and where we're at right now.
No, I love that, man. I love that. Very, very informative. And you're right, man. Something that you said too as well, the best investment you can make right now is in yourself. And there's trying times, but we know that in the uncertainty, there's certainty as well, where there's some good you can create and stuff like that too as well, man. So I thank you for sharing that. So you've mentioned, man, a certain skill sets, you know, and certain areas to kind of get involved. So where would you say someone who's truly seeking and they just feel though they're in the space of just complacency at the moment, and they're trying to get out the place of being in that fixed mindset to get into the growth mindset, what would you say a few steps for them to take to get there, to not only get there, but to also learn as they go and learn as they grow to be able to execute at a very high level?
Yeah. So I think there's a few steps, you know. I personally kind of go through, like, you know, seven steps is what I call it, you know, like the seven steps of manifestation. And this is just something that I personally have lived by, that I kind of, a philosophy that I created based on my own life experience that has worked well for me. And the first step is awareness. And it's the awareness that, number one, you have to be aware that, like, you don't like where you're at. Right. Malcolm X said that what you don't hate, you eventually tolerate. And I think most people don't like their situation, but they don't hate their situation. And because they don't hate their situation, they're not willing to do whatever it takes to get out of it. Of course, everyone wishes they were a millionaire. Everybody wants a six pack. Everybody wants these different types of things. But you have to hate your situation so much that you are willing to do literally whatever it takes to get to that next level. And so I think I said this actually on your last podcast, and this is a quote from Tony Robbins. He said, when the pain of staying the same outweighs the pain of change, then you actually go out there and change, right? So that's the first reality, is that you have to get so much pain in your current situation that you actually go out there and you're willing to go out there and make a change. And so it's the awareness of that. That's number one. And then the second part of the awareness is the awareness that it's possible to change. I think there are a lot of people out there who are in situations that feel hopeless. And when you're hopeless, you don't feel like there's any way out. And I just want to encourage you that it is possible, that there have been people that have been in worse situations than you that have figured this thing out. And whatever's been done in life can be duplicated in life. So if someone else came from a worse situation than you and made it out, then you can do the exact same thing as well. But the key is that you have to go and get resourceful. And so until you believe those two things, until you go out there and get, you know, number one, you become aware that I hate my situation, you get angry at it. Then number two is you become aware that it's possible to go out there and change. Then, you know, you can kind of start to move down these steps into the next step. And after you become aware that it's possible to change, the next thing is all about desire. You know, because it's like, okay, when you see that there's other people that are in your situation that have already gone out there and done it, now what should happen is this burning desire should start to kind of fuel in your stomach that you really want that thing. And how do you know if you have a real burning desire? And the answer is your priorities, right? Your priorities in life reflect, like, what you do in life, the actions you take in life reflect your true priorities. And so it's like, if you want to know, do I have a burning desire for change? Then look at your life. You know, are you willing to do something you've never done to get something that you've never got? And are your patterns that you're going through in life, are those reflecting those priorities? Because most people, they say, again, they want change, but they're not willing to actually do anything about it. And so once you're aware that change is possible, then you have to get a burning desire where you're willing to make the necessary sacrifices to go and make, you know, and go in and break through. So after I go out there and, you know, you have that desire, the next step that you have to do is you have to set an intention. You have to go and find some sort of specific strategy to get better at. And there's so many different ways to make money. You can do e-commerce. You can go out there and do network marketing. You can do insurance. You can go and do real estate. You can do financial services. You can go and be a digital closer, where you basically do online sales and you just close deals. You can do an appointment setter, which is basically you book appointments for people by just, like, sending DMs. You know, there are so many ways that you can go out there and make money nowadays. But the idea is you got to pick one. You have to decide that I'm going to get good at this thing. For me, I got into the network marketing industry when I was 19 years old. And that is what my original vehicle vehicle was. I decided that I'm going to go out there and do this thing. I am going to go and become very good at this one thing. And so I set my intention, you know, very, very clearly and went out there and did that. And then after you have the intention set, the next phase is you have to have belief. Because the reality is that there are a lot of people who say, yes, I want to go become, you know, a millionaire in e-com, or yes, I want to go become a millionaire in Forex trading, or yes, I want to become a millionaire in network marketing or insurance or financial services, but they don't actually believe that they can go and make that happen. And so because they don't actually believe it, they don't actually go and take action towards that thing. And so it's like, if you don't have the belief that it's possible, then you're not going to go and take the actions that you need to go out there and take. And so that's why the next step, after you set the intention, is you have to have the belief. Then after you have the belief that it's possible, so you're saying, hey, I'm going to be, you know, a successful whatever it is. I know it's possible because there's so many other people that have gone and done it. I believe in myself and the people around me. The next step that you have to go and do is you got to freaking focus, okay? And focus, I think, is an acronym called follow one course until successful. And there's so many people in this online world that bounce around, right? And I will tell you, I became victim of this myself, you know, where it's like you go and you do, you know, e-com and you do that for 90 days. And then you see somebody over here crushing it in real estate. And you're like, oh, maybe I should go do real estate. You do that for 90 days. Then you see someone crushing it in insurance. You're like, oh, maybe I should do insurance. And now you go do that in 90 days. And the problem is you keep resetting and restarting. It's kind of like, think about planting a seed. If I'm going to go and plant a seed, I got to water it and fertilize it, water it and fertilize it, water it and fertilize it for an extended period of time. And for a while, it doesn't look like anything is actually happening. But if you actually were able to look under the soil, you could see that these roots were starting to be, you know, formed. And then eventually, after you water and fertilize it consistently over time, so you focus on this one plant, you will start to see the fruits of it and it will start to grow and make it happen. But the problem is that if you water and fertilize it for a week and then because you don't see any flowers, you're like, oh, this doesn't work. So then you plant another seed and then you water and fertilize that one for a week. You're like, oh, it's not working. And then you do another one and another one. None of the seeds are going to actually end up growing. Not because the seed is bad, but because you didn't give it enough time, energy, and effort. You didn't focus enough on that one particular thing. The reality is that all the seeds could have grown. Every single one of them could have grown, but you didn't put the energy and effort into that thing. And that's the reason that it didn't go out there and work for you. So that's the next step. So you got to freaking focus on that thing. So now, you know, you've got your thing, you're freaking laser focused on that thing. And the next step is you have to go out there and you have to have faith. Okay. And what I mean by faith is this evidence. And this is, I use a biblical definition of faith because I think it's the best one that I've heard. It's the substance of hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen, right? And so what that means is that while you're focusing, while you're going and you're doing this, you're watering the seed, you have faith that it will eventually produce fruits. And you don't have any evidence that that's going to happen because in your life, you probably have never had success yet. Maybe you've always, you know, been broke. You've always had issues with this stuff, right? So it's like, it's going to take faith. Again, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen, in order to actually go and make this thing happen. And so again, now we're focused on the intention. I have faith that it's going to go and work out. And then the final thing that you have to go out there and have is you have to have patience, okay? And when I say patience, this is what I mean by patience, is I mean, if you actually look up the dictionary definition of patience, it means the ability to deal with trials and tribulations. Because the reality is that on your path to success, you are gonna get kicked in the face, you are gonna fail, you are gonna experience hardships, you are gonna experience challenges, you are gonna have, you know, situations that feel like there's no way to figure it out, you know, where you feel stuck and you're gonna question yourself a billion times, you know, and you're going to deal with these things. It is a reality of success, a reality of life. And if you don't have the patience to be able to persevere through those things and deal with those trials and tribulations, then you're not going to go be able to have success. But if you can have the faith or the faith in the patience to be able to go through that stuff, then quite frankly, as long as you don't quit, success becomes inevitable, you know, because I believe that I don't think that you become confident, you know, by shouting affirmations in the mirror. I heard this from Alex Hormozi one time. He said, you don't become confident by shouting affirmations in the mirror. You become confident by having a stack of undeniable evidence that you are who you say you are, right? And the idea to do so much work that it becomes unreasonable not to succeed. You put in so much energy, so much effort, it becomes unreasonable. So like in sales, right? Like the average person maybe will go and prospect 10 people a day. But if you prospect 100 a day while everyone else is prospecting 10, even if you suck, guess what? It's unreasonable to think that you're not going to find someone to go out there and say yes. And so that is what I really encourage people to go out there and do, is I think you need to, number one, become aware of your situation and be like, I don't like this, and get to skin and be like, I'm done. You need to also become aware that success is possible. Then once that awareness becomes possible, it creates this desire that you really want it. That desire eventually helps you find a vehicle where you can set your intention and say, this is the thing I'm going to get good at. Once you set the intention, you have to have belief that it's actually possible for you to make it happen. After you have the belief, you have to be focused on that one thing and not keep bouncing around to all those things. Then you got to have faith while you're going and doing the effort that it's actually going to go and produce something. And you also have to have patience, knowing you're going to deal with issues, you're going to deal with trials and tribulations, but you can overcome them and you can learn from them, and you can actually grow because of them. And so those, to me, like, that is the recipe that I personally have followed, you know, in order to go out there and find success. And I think that other people, if they take these principles and they follow them, they can find, you know, success as well.
Absolutely. I love that. I just love the way you broke each step down too as well. And out of one of mine that I've started to gear to along the years, especially being close to you, conversing with you, working with you, learning from you and growing with you, is resourcefulness. Right. So in today's age, you have this new economy, you have this new digital age where everything is so controlled by technology, right? So take us into how can, you know, for those who so much just stuck amongst their community or their society, well, not say stuck, but just they want to reach out. Like you said, they want to reach out to 10 to 20 prospects. They, if they're getting into network marketing or into sales, and we know that you can't get it by thinking something. You're not able to get a lead or be able to get a lead because of someone else doing the work for you. You have to do it yourself. So how could we be resourceful to be able to leverage kind of those relationships and those people that we meet along the way from who we currently are, if that makes sense? So like, how can we use the technology base, the social media that's around, in order to be able to incline on those relationships and things like that? So that kind of makes sense. I know it's a little bit over the place.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to share.
Be more resourceful. How could we be more resourceful?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, being more resourceful, I think is a byproduct of belief. I think it is a result of believing in yourself. Because if I have a belief that I always figure it out, you know, I'm always gonna land on my feet, then no matter what happens in my life, that I'm going to figure it out. And that causes me to go out there and become resourceful. And so I think that, again, I think that resourcefulness is a result of belief. I think that right now in the digital age, kind of talking what you were saying, is that we have infinite access to people. Like, no one has an excuse not to become successful. Like, because again, it's like, yeah, to become successful, you got to have something to sell, you know? So it's like, whether you're creating your own product or whether you work for somebody else and, you know, you're selling their product or service, it doesn't really matter. But assuming you have something to go and sell, the next step is just making a list of people to go and sell it to. And then the third step is just reaching out to those people, you know, and anybody can reach out to people on Instagram DMs. Anyone can use LinkedIn or Facebook Messenger or a cold email or whatever it may go out there and be. Like, we have infinite access to information. Back in the day, if you were someone who wanted to go and become successful without the internet, you had to have money to start a business, and it was difficult, like really, really hard, crazy risky. But nowadays it's not, you know. But I think that the biggest problem that most people have, quite frankly, is that they are emotionally dependent on other people's opinions of them. I think that they are so caught up in what other people think of them that they aren't willing to go out there and look quote unquote stupid by going out there and reaching out to people. You know, it's like they are just so obsessed with the opinions of others. That's what they're thinking about all day in their mind. Like, they aren't thinking about their goals. They aren't thinking about their vision. They aren't thinking about where they want to go. They're not thinking about that. They're thinking about what other people are thinking about them. And that paralyzes people. And that causes them not to be able to go and prospect, not to be able to go and reach out, not to be able to go and take risks, because they don't want to look stupid. They don't want to look dumb. They don't want to be, you know, the odd person out. And I think that is an addiction, you know, like you can be addicted to what other people think of you. And I think it's a mental prison that people get into, and it causes paralysis where you don't take any action. And so I think that you have to realize.
I love that. Take this. I didn't mean to cut you off. Take that off. Take us into that, bro. Like, as far as like not being in prison by that mindset where other people are continuing to control your movement, your thoughts versus you. Like, take us into that, man, because I do think that there's a lot going on in people that's listening to right now, especially our young people who just, they have these people around them and they're not understanding that they're not being supported. They're only holding them back rather than pushing them forward. So how do we get away from all that, man?
Well, the first thing is that a problem clearly defined is already halfway solved, right? So you have to first define and admit the fact that you have this problem. So it goes back to the first thing I'm saying. It's awareness, right? Most people are unaware. They don't know that they have this emotional dependence on people. And so that's the first thing, is you have to acknowledge it, okay? Then after you go and acknowledge it, you got to evaluate it. You got to ask yourself, okay, like, why do I feel this way? What is causing me to go out there and feel this way? And is that serving me? So like, I'll give you an example. So like for me, there was a point in my time in my life where I was scared to like go out there and reach out to people and prospect them, you know, about my product or my service or whatever it may go out there and be, because I didn't want to get rejected. I didn't want them to think I was stupid, da 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 da. You know, all these stories that were going on within my head. But then what I did is I reassigned the meaning behind rejection and people saying no to me, where it was like, at first when I would prospect someone and someone would say no, or they would ignore me, or they would do this, I felt like they were saying no to me as a person. I felt like they were rejecting me as a human being. And every single time someone said no to me, it was like a shot to my identity, you know, that was like, oh, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe this, maybe that, maybe my parents were right. Maybe my friends were right. Right. And it was just reinforcing that. It was evidence. My mind defined it and gave it the meaning that it was evidence that maybe I wasn't good enough. But then what I realized is that everybody goes through and says no, right? Like there's not a single person on the planet that is massively successful who's never been rejected, who's never had someone say no, say no to their business, and that's never called them crazy. Like, every person goes through this. But the difference between them is that they redefine the meaning. And so for me now, I reassign it. And so now when I get told no, I know that no means progress. Because if someone says no to me, it's an opportunity to learn. Why did they say no? How can I get better? What can I do to go out there and improve? And then I just move to the next one and I keep growing from there. And so it's like the key is you have to reassociate what rejection means in your mind. For most people, rejection and no is a bad thing. But if you can reassociate it and you can say, oh, wait, no is not bad, it's an opportunity to grow, then it's good. And I'll give you two examples of this. So number one is like it was Thomas Edison, and he was being interviewed and when he created the light bulb, right? So people have probably heard this story, and they were like, hey, you, when trying to create the light bulb, you failed 10,000 times. Like, why didn't you quit when you failed so many times? And he looked back at the person and was like, see, that's the difference between you and me. I didn't fail. I just successfully figured out what didn't work 10,000 times so that I could eventually figure out what did work. And so what the average person defines as failure, he defined as successfully figuring out what didn't work. And he knew if he successfully figures out what doesn't work enough times, eventually he will find what works. And so that's a reassociation of the meaning behind that, behind failure, right? That's the key. Another example that I had in my life, this is like a little trick that I've done, is that when I'm like, let's say prospecting, right? Because I'm in the sales business. I own a marketing agency, and like we got to get customers, right? And I teach this to my salespeople. It's like I teach them to set a goal, not for how many yeses they want to get in a day, but set a goal for how many no's they're going to get in a day, right? So it's like, hey, my goal is to get 10 no's a day. That's your goal. Just get 10 no's a day. Because I know if they get 10 no's a day, in between the no's, there's going to be some yeses, right? It's just law of averages. That's how it works. But then what I'm doing on a subconscious level is I'm reassociating no with a positive reinforcement. Their goal is to get told no. So it's like, if they get told no, it's not a bad thing. It's like, oh, great. I'm one step closer to my goal of 10 no's in a day. So, and then if they get told yes, it's like, great, I'm getting paid. Right. So like, no matter what the person says, it's a win in their mind. And so I think that the key is helping people realize that everything is mental. Like your world starts from the inside out. And if you want to reinvent your life from the outside, you have to reinvent your paradigm from the inside. And that I think is the most important thing.
Say that again. That's powerful. Say that one more time.
Yeah, if you want to reinvent your life on the outside, you have to reinvent your paradigm from the inside.
That's deep, man. I love that, man. That's so true too, as well. That everything is so in. We gotta stop letting so much from the outside control, you know. So I love that, bro. I wanted to ask, man. I know along this journey, you and I have had many conversations on and off the screen, but I know you've shared just some pitfalls you faced along this journey. So I kind of wanted to ask, what's that most recent trial you faced along this journey, whether it's business, with branding, life, you name it, and how did it allow you to trump just through that process of going through that moment and continuing to just be who you are, to allow others to know if you are in this space as well, you can too. Triumph.
Yeah. I mean, I've gone through more trials than I can even explain on here. But the most recent one I would say is for a while we had a hot service at our agency. And I won't get into details of kind of like how it all works, but it was like, this was basically like one of those offers that like everybody wanted to go and buy. High ticket offer. It was like 30 grand to go and purchase it. But the deliverables on the offer were freaking home runs. Like, and it was so easy. We didn't have to market it. Everything came from referrals, like very easily. So I started my agency in 2021. We started this new agency. We started this offer and very quickly ramped the agency up to like, I think we did like 1.5 or 1.6 million our first year. And it was amazing, you know, and we were like, this is going to continue to crush. It's going to be amazing. The problem is that the offer was contingent on a technology that we didn't own. And so what happened is the company that owned this technology and that had control over the deliverables basically decided that they didn't want to be able to offer this anymore. You know, they decided that, okay, we're going to change the terms. We're going to redo all this stuff. And so it's not going to go out there and work. And so we basically had this home run offer, this grand slam offer that was doing amazing. And then overnight it went to nothing. And now we didn't have any offer that was there anymore. And not only that, but the offer itself included a guarantee. And so it was like, now we have all of these people that we've collected 30 grand from, and we have a guarantee deliverable for them that we can no longer deliver on. So now we owe refunds to all of those people, you know, which is hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, in refunds in that area. And so, you know, we now got to figure this out where it's like, okay, we got to refund all these people hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then in addition to that, we don't have anything else to do new to sell right now. And so like, how are we going to basically go out there and figure this whole thing out? And so it was a difficult time, you know, and it wasn't even that long ago, you know, that was like, what, probably like a year ago, maybe, you know, 8 months, I don't know, not that long ago. And so we had to go and figure it out, and we had to go and pivot. And so what we did is that we just reset, right? Because at the end of the day, there's only two things you can control, right? You can control your mind, your attitude, and your actions. So I can control how I look at the situation, and I can control what I do about the situation. And I'll say this, most people, if they were in my situation, they would blame. They're like, oh, well, it's not my fault. You know, the company did this and that. I have no control over them. So it is what it is. You know, it's like, and then that's what they're going to go and do. And they're now powerless to the situation. But for me, I took responsibility. I'm like, it was my decision to create this offer. I could have chosen to sell anything else, but I chose this and I didn't effectively evaluate the risk of it. I didn't see it. I missed something on this. And so that was my fault. And I had to own that. I had to eat that. You know, we had a downsized company. I had to fire people. Like it was a tough situation. And this is like right when my kid's being born, you know? So it's like, this is not a fun time to like go through something this difficult and this uncertain where like income is like a question mark now. But I took responsibility for it. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. If I can do it once, I can do it again. And at the end of the day, you can take away the service, you can take away my offer, but you can't take away my skills. So then I just went back to the drawing board and I'm like, okay, what did I learn from this? You know, a big thing that I learned was that I'm no longer going to build a business on an offer that I don't have ultimate control over, right? And so then what we did is we pivoted and we started moving into PR. And the reason we went into like full-time PR is because there are, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of public thousands, probably tens of thousands of publications all across the planet. PR is an $120 billion industry and it's not going anywhere. You know, it's like this industry isn't going anywhere. And we had some competitive advantages due to some strategic relationships that we had in the industry. And I was like, okay, I can build a house on solid rock, you know, because what I did the first time is I built a house on sand. You know, it was an easy offer. It was quick money. It was ready to go. But I built my foundation on sand because it was too easy. Then this time I'm like, all right, what's something that I can do long-term? You know, how can I build a company long-term? And I reset and I recalibrated. So we had to completely rebrand everything. We had to recreate all of our standard operating procedures. You know, like it was just, we went some debt, you know, for the company. Like it was a difficult situation to go through. But through that, now we kind of like came out of it. And now we do have something that's beautiful. We have something that's sustainable. We have something that's long-term. We have something that's growing now, you know, very fast, you know, similar trajectory that we had in the last one. And now this is something that can actually be here for a long time. And I learned from that stuff, you know? And so I think that most people, this goes into the patience part where it's like most people expect it to be like this, you know, straight up like this. But like, I'll tell you, after 10 years of entrepreneurship, that's just a lie. It's not true. All right. It's like freaking this. And really it's like this and like that. It's like a roller coaster, you know, and like, and the downs are so down, but like, the reality is that in business, you only have to be right like once, right? You know, like that's it. And once you're right once, you win. I heard this one time from I forget who said it, but he was talking about Michael Jordan. And apparently Michael Jordan, and I'll forget the exact number, but he's taken something like 960 like last second shots where like throughout his career, where he was trusted to take the last shot of the game. You know, 960 times Michael Jordan was the guy. And he only made 150 of those shots. So he took it. He took the shot 960 times, but he only made 150 of them. But does anyone talk about the you know, 800 that he missed? No, they only talk about the 150 that he made. And so at the end of the day, once you make it, no one gives a crap how many failures you have. No one cares. Actually, to be honest, once you really get to the top, if the person who went through the most crap to get there, that's the person that has the most respect, because the guys at the top know how hard it is. And they're like, dang, if you can persevere through that, woo, you know, like you're a dog, you know, and like, and that's, and that actually gives you more respect. And so the very thing that you're complaining about right now, once you get there, that's actually going to be the very thing that gives you your credibility and that allows you to be, you know, someone that other people can look up to and relate to. Because at the end of the day, if you are one of the very rare, and there are a few of my friends that are unicorns, it's like their first business they ever got into, they exploded, they made tens of millions of dollars, ridiculous stuff. You know, that happens like once, but like that person is not relatable. He can't go help that kid in, you know, Philly trying to go and figure it out, because it's like who struggled and has tried 10 businesses and they all failed, and like he's doubting his self-confidence and his belief because he's never been there, right? So it's like, I think that your testimony, you know, or your the test you go through becomes your testimony, right? We've heard this phrase before, but I think it's really true. You know, I think it's really, 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 really true. At least that's how I look at it.
No, beautifully said, man. So there's five teams right there, man, out there somewhere in the world. One of them name is Luke, and he has a, you know, few group of other friends. And these are diversity teams. So, you know, they're striving, they're grinding, they're hustling, and they're trying to get to this place that they desire, you know. So what would be, you know, some encouraging words that you've never shared before with this next generation here, this next gen, to not make the same mistakes that you made, better decisions, but also to have the resilience as well as they go through this stage of phrase to be able to get to this place, but sustain it and knowing that, yeah, if we could go from there, that'd be good, man. I'm just enjoying this, bro. You know how we get, so.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. And you get before I answer this, I want a little bit of context. So like these kids, you know, that we're talking about right now, do they have an opportunity? Like, have they found an opportunity to go make money still, or are they just kind of still before they found an opportunity?
No, they found the opportunity. They actually get into sales. They're doing the sales around, let's say, the whole network marketing piece and life insurance. So, you know, they're working on those two businesses. Yeah.
Perfect. All right, great. So they have an opportunity. Because that's the first thing. If you don't have an opportunity, you got to find a vehicle, right? Like, you can't get from point A to point B without a vehicle. And so that's where I say, like, that intention phase, like, find the vehicle to get there. So if they already have the vehicle, my number one biggest piece of advice to those people is, first off, is focus on getting better. Okay. Like focus on getting as good as you can get. You know, Jim Rohn. He said, don't wish it were easier, wish you were better. Because once you become better, it becomes easier. And so in both those industries, network marketing and insurance, there are thousands of multimillionaires, literally thousands of them. So it is possible. Absolutely. And if you are not a multimillionaire yet, it's not because the business sucks or you're in the wrong industry or da 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 da. The reason that you are not there yet is because you're not good enough yet. And I know that is a hard pill to swallow for people, but it is the truth. If you are not there, you're not good enough. The people at the top didn't get lucky. They didn't get, you know, they weren't born with this something that you didn't have access to. They are just better than you. But that's okay, because if you guess you can get better, anybody can get better, right? And so it's like, and if you commit to every single day just getting better, that's it. I just want to get better. Improve your skills. You will win. I'll give you an example. I found success pretty early. You know, when I was 19, I you know, found a network marketing company. By the time I was 20, I hit six figures, 21, multiple six figures. And at 23, you know, my business was doing $10 million a year in annual revenue. I had 10,000 salespeople across 50 states, 20 countries, traveled the world. It was insane, you know? And the reason I think that worked is because all I focused on was getting better every day. Like, I mean, I cut out all the distractions. I did not do any entertainment. I did not listen to music. I was listening to personal development. I did not go to the parties. Okay. I was focused on getting better. I remember I would sit there and it would be like, because for me, like, the big thing I needed to get really good at was the presentation. I had to get good at selling. And I knew it was the same presentation every single time, over and over and over again. So what I did is I found who is the best person in the business. Like, who is the highest paid person in the business? Who's the best presenter? And I took their recording of their presentation and I transcribed it. And then what I did is I started to model after it. You know, like, I took their how they presented. And at first I presented the exact same way. You have to go out there and replicate before you reiterate. because don't think that you're smarter than the best person in the game. There's a reason that they're there. So don't change anything that they're doing. Just replicate it. Then once you start to get good, once you start to get in a bunch of reps, then what you can do is you can reiterate it. Now you can start to personalize it and make it yours. And so what I started to do is after I started to build a big team, instead of going out there and just copying the people that were at the top, I started listening to my own sales calls. And I would just go all day and I was so critical on myself. I would change every little tiny piece. I would practice it in the shower while I was walking to class, while I was doing this stuff. Like I was obsessed with just getting better, because if I knew that if I could get to the point where I could close anybody, where it was like, you put someone in front of me, they're saying yes, I'm like, that is where freedom comes from. And no one can take that away from me, right? And so it's like, for these guys who are out there doing it, like, just get good. Become the best closer in the game. Become the best presenter in the game. And the only way you get there, there's no shortcuts. It's by practice. How did Kobe get so good? He's in the gym more than everybody else, right? Like, that's just the game. That's how it works. Read Mamba mentality. That's how it works. You do what others won't now so you can live like others can't later. And have that long-term thinking. And I think that's actually something that I would say that is probably the biggest failure that I see with like young people trying to be successful, is that they can't think long term yet, right? They don't know what delayed gratification is. They put in all this work and they look at their paycheck at the end of the week and they're like, oh, I didn't make any money. Maybe it doesn't work, you know? It's like, but you can't judge it based on the check in the beginning, because you're just getting started, right? Just like if you just pick up a sport, right? Like, let's just say you play basketball, right? You can't judge the game based on your first few shots. It's like, oh, I missed my first 10 shots. Well, duh, you've never shot a ball before. Okay. Like, listen, y'all are just getting into business. This is the very beginning. You know, like, this is a skill we're going to be working on for decades, you know? So start to think long-term and focus on that delayed gratification, where you're going to, again, do what others won't now so you can live like others can't later. And if you make those sacrifices short-term and you put in the energy and you put in the effort and then you outwork everyone else, that is the final piece to it. You outwork everyone else. While they're freaking sleeping, you're working. While they're at the parties, you're working. While they're playing video games, you're working. You can quite literally work the next, like people say, like in college, for example, you know, it's the four best years of your life. And they're like, oh, I'm just going to have fun these 4 years and then I'm going to work the next 40. But if you do this right, you can freaking work for 5 years and all you do is work. You just focus on work, and then that can set you up for the next 40 years. So instead of 4 years of fun, 40 years of work, it can be 4 to 5 years of work and then 40 years of fun. And let's say it's not 4 to 5 years. Maybe it takes you a decade. Well, guess what? Most people work till they freaking die. So you're still way ahead of the vast majority of people, even if it takes you a decade to go out there and get there. And so I would tell people, think in terms of decades rather than days. Have long-term thinking. Focus on delayed gratification. Outwork your competition. Focus on getting better rather than wishing it were easier. And you're going to win. You know, you're going to freaking win.
That's so dope, man. No, absolutely. I love that. I love everything you just shared. I think that it's always valuable and it's helpful. So for those that's listening right now, if you're in that space, you're young gen, you had those group of friends or just a few people, and you guys are in an area of network marketing, sales, life insurance, you know, others, you name it, just focus on getting better. It may not get easy, but it will get better. So I thank you for dropping that and putting that down, Luke. I wanted to take some time, man, through this segment to just show you some gratitude, bro, for just being here and being present. This is our third time that we got a chance to sit down. We may not be in the same city at this moment, but at the same time, we was able to devote time through technology to be able to make this happen. Another great conversation, another conversation to remember. I commend you, man, not just for who you are and where you are now, but for where you come from. You know what I'm saying? I know your story. I know your story well, you know, and I know you came a long way and how far you've came. And to just be able to share tips and tools that's going to help people take their life, their education, their business to that next level is just something that just doesn't come overnight, man. And this is something that you became through the process. And to be able to be in this space and guide many, many people. Like you say, it started for early age at you, at early age for you. I remember you telling me our first conversation that you had a sign that you was ready to give up so much because you was that individual going out every night, partying, at one point in time before you became focused, right? Or so that nature. And you got that sign, a sign of faith, a sign from the Most High, a sign to move in the right direction, a sign to be able to put down excuses and put up priorities and be able to take accountability for where you are to get to where you want to be. And I just commend you, man, so much, and hats off to you, much respect for all that you've accomplished, but for all that you've overcame too as well. You're a true overcomer, man. And we've learned to understand that tomorrow may not be promised, but today we are present. We may not live it perfect. We don't have to live it perfect, but we live it right, and we live it once, then inspire before we expire. Once is only enough, right? So I'm grateful and thankful, man, to just be here with you, to call you a friend, call you a brother. You're a true pioneer, man. If you ever heard that, you're a true pioneer in many eyes, in these industries, because you've opened the lane for many other people who came after you, because you know what it was for someone to open a lane for you. But you also know that some people may not did it the way you did it, genuinely. And I've seen it myself, man. So I wanted to show that gratitude towards you, brother.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that, and that really means a lot. I say everything that I can from the most humble perspective, and I just pray that some people can take some of this information that I wish I would have known when I first started, and hopefully it can help shorten their learning curve, because I think that we live in a really interesting time. I think that the world needs leaders. I think that the world needs people to step up. I think that the world needs positive messages. And that's why I love this podcast. The idea of like inspire before you expire, that's something that I pray that I can be able to go and do. And I love that you've committed your life to that as well. And I commend you for that, man. And so I appreciate you. And I think God willing, we're both going to continue to do that, in our life, and continue to reach out, touch other lives, and impact people, man. Because I think that God chooses a few people in life, to go out there and have this mission. It's not easy, right? There's a lot of ups and downs, like to he who much is, what is it? It's like who much is given, much is expected, or whatever the phrase is. I'm forgetting what it is, but the point is it's like it's a heavy burden, like it really is. If you decide to be a teacher, you decide to go out there and tell other people, hey, here's how you can go and live life. And people trust you with that. It's a heavy burden to go and wear. And so I carry that humbly. And I also say this, I'm just a freaking guy. I'm a small town kid from Northern Michigan, and I'm nothing special. I was just had big dreams, was willing to work really hard, and that's what got me to where I'm at. And I pray that's gonna, help other people get them to where they want to go and be as well. So.
No, absolutely. I love that, man. I love that. And thank you too, just for being you and all that you do, man. I was looking at this interview the other day. No, actually, I was listening to training from Oprah, and she said something about just living a life of substance through service. So can you take us more into that, bro, of just living a life of substance through service? Because I know that that's what you're truly, truly about, man.
I mean, the mission of my company is to serve those who serve others. That's our mission statement at Ace Branding.
Ace
And
Brandon.
at Ace Branding, yep. And I believe that, I think it was Zig Ziglar who said it, you can have anything you want in the world if you help enough other people get what they want. And that to me is the game. It's like for me, I grew up and I had two major influences in my life. One was my aunt, one was my uncle. Of course, my parents taught me my like morals and things like that, and my character, which I'm so grateful for. But I saw these two people. My aunt was the director of the Peace Corps. She had a life of service of just helping other people, and it was very much so like serving with her time, and that's what she went out there and did. And then my uncle was in, gas and oil. He made tons of money, within gas and oil. But then he served through philanthropy. He would donate to charities. properties, and he would be the person that's paying for the well. You know, my aunt's the person that's out there, you know, putting the well in type stuff, you know? And I was always taught that there was like two types of people in the world that were successful. There's people who love people and use money, and then there's people who use people and love money. And for me, I'm just committed to loving people and using money. I believe that, you know, in the Bible, it says that service to the masses leads to greatness. And I believe that that's true. You know, when I look at, you know, Jesus Christ, the most impactful person that ever came to be. And it's not even a religious perspective. I mean, you just look at this one human being that walked on the earth for 3 years. And now like there's 2 billion people, you know, that follow him still to this day, 2000 years later. And so take away the religious perspective of it. Just look at it as an impactful human. It's an undeniable, his influence on the world. Even if you're an atheist, you can't deny that, you know? And to me, like, he was a servant to all, you know, that was his goal, was he came to go and serve and not to be served. And that's where the greatest impact came from. And so that to me is what we're all called to go and do. If you want to be great, if you want to be, you know, considered somebody who's remembered, you want to leave a legacy, you want to impact, you got to focus on service, you know, and that's the key. Again, I believe if you just help enough other people get what they want, you can get everything that you want and more. And I think that's so important with sales. I think sales is not a game where you're like convincing people to get something that they don't want. It's a thing where you're helping people get from where they're at to where they want to be with your product or service. And those two different mentalities, like when I'm talking to someone, are you thinking about the commission you're going to get from that sale? Or are you thinking about the value that they're going to receive when they purchase that product from you? And then the commission is just an added bonus on the byproduct of it. There's a big difference in energy there. And if you can get your heart to be service mind or get service focused and get your mind to be service focused, and you can start to lead with your heart a little bit more than your head. People feel that, you know, and not only do you get better results, you know, from it, you'll get a higher closing percentage because people actually feel like they give a crap. You know, you give a crap about them. You build rapport much faster. But in addition to that, you're just going to feel good about yourself. You know, like it's just knowing that every person that you touch, you can bless them and you can provide value to them. There's something energetically about that in this world. You know, whatever you put out, it really does come back to you. And being service focused in this world is so important. And I think that, again, Christ gave us a rule. It says, treat other people as you'd like to be treated. You know, that was his two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and then treat other people as you'd like to be treated. He's like, that's it. It's like, if you just do those two things, you're good, you know? And so it's like, it's so simple, but what's easy to do is also easy not to do. And in this world that glorifies kind of pride and ego and a lot of individualism and materialism, sometimes it's easy to forget those simple truths. But once you remember them and you start to operate based off of them, life starts to open up for you.
Absolutely. I love that, man. And what keeps you... What really intrigues you mostly about the PR space, and how do you continue to maintain that authenticity, that identity, along with something different that you're looking to bring in the space as well, to be able to help others not only get those clients, but also be someone incredible of service and loving people and using money at the same time.
Absolutely, man. So for me, like the PR space is the PR space, right? There's a lot of people, you know, in the space. And so it's like the idea is pretty simple. You get people in media, right? You get them in the, you know, for us, we focus on major media. We focus on Forbes, NASDAQ, Entrepreneur, USA Today, these big publications. But we're not the only people in the space that can go out there and do that. And so for me, like what I love and the reason like our mission is to serve those who serve others is because I think there are people out there that have incredible value to go out there and bring. And their message is just incredible, but people don't know who they are yet. And so it's like, if I can take somebody whose message is extremely impactful, is inspiring, is incredible, and then I can give them like a microphone. So now instead of 100 people hearing the message, 1,000 people or 1 million people begin to go and hear this message. Now, by me helping that one person, I actually indirectly helped thousands or tens of thousands or millions. Because again, I served somebody who's serving others. And I think that the media space in general, like especially in PR, it's a very deceptive space. Because if you have the right connections, you can basically get any story published that you want. And people take it as truth. And so that's where propaganda comes from, right? You know, where it's basically people leveraging the media to manipulate the minds of the masses. And what I want to be is the opposite of that. I want to be the antithesis of that. I want to be the person that is taking the people who have authentic voices and the ethical entrepreneurs. And I want to be the microphone for them, you know? And so take this same tool that has oftentimes been used for bad, frankly, you know, if you look at historically within propaganda, and still to this day, we're getting lied to all the time by the media. It's unbelievable, you know, and take that same tool, but then use it for good. I think that is so freaking powerful. And it's a really cool way for me to be able to, you know, leave my mark, because for me, I don't have like necessarily, I don't want to say I don't have an ego, because I do, you know, I'm not perfect to any degree. You know, I love recognition. I love that stuff, you know, but at the end of the day, I want to contribute more than that, you know, in the sense that it's like, okay, maybe I'm not the person, you know, that's speaking on stage in front of 10,000 people, you know, but if I can go and take that person and I can get that message that's impacting 10,000 and then get it to be in front of 100,000 or a million, now I can indirectly impact a million people through someone else. And even if I don't get the credit or the recognition and it goes to that person instead of me, I'm okay with that, you know, because I'm not in it for the recognition, you know, I'm in it more for the impact than anything else. And frankly, it's also profitable business. You know, it's like, if you help other people get what they want, you can get what you want more too, you know? So it's like, it's a charity for me, right? So it's also, you know, profitable as well. But again, I put people over profits, you know, I focus on the impact more than the income.
Absolutely. And what's one investment you've been looking to make that you haven't made yet? And why would you like to make this investment rather than today's time? And you can be able to share that with us.
One investment I haven't made, but I'm looking to make that I wish I could make. I think I'd like to become
maybe
a platinum
for 2024.
Part. Yeah. I mean, I would like to become a platinum partner of Tony Robbins group, you know, like, I really look up to Tony Robbins. This platinum like partnership, I think, is like $100,000 a year to go out there and become a part of. But I really value networks. I really value getting in rooms with other very high level individuals and learning from them. I think at the end of the day, the best investment that you can make is in yourself and in your own skills, right? And so, you know, for me, if I'm thinking of an ROI, I can go invest in real estate. I can go buy crypto. I can go buy, you know, whatever the heck it is. But if I can get into rooms with other very high level people and I can learn from these people, the ROI that I get from that and growing my skill set is, you know, 1,000x in comparison to, you know, any other investment that I can go out there and make. And so that's something that, you know, I have a goal to go and do. I don't know if it's gonna be next year, you know, but I would love to be able to go and make that investment sometime.
Absolutely. I love that. And that will happen. It's already written.
That's right.
All right. Luke, I wanted you to take some time to just have the floor, man. I want you to share something you've never shared on any platform, not even with your team before, or your teams, you know, your company, your community. I want you to share something that you feel like is truly in your heart that you would love to just lay out to the audience right now. It's just not going to help them just move in the right direction and get to a place that they desire, but also just be okay with themselves. Be all right where they are right now. Be grateful for where they are right now. Be able to just be able to also appreciate the people that's in their corner, right? You know, or so. So if you can be able to just lay something down, bro, and be able to share and open up, man, all ears, man. We'll love to hear.
Something I've never shared. I'm pretty much an open book, so it's tough for me to even think about what that would be.
Take it down.
Yeah, I'll think about that. I'll say this, you know, like when I look back in my life, something that's really changed a lot in my life is my priorities. So when I first was, you know, getting into business and, you know, all of these things, I really prioritized success and recognition. You know, like I really wanted to be, because I cared so much about what other people thought of me, you know, like, and I'll, and this is something, I guess. So like my, I get this from my parents. So like my mom is the same way, you know, she really cares about what other people think for her, of her. And it drives her entire life, you know? And I have a part of that in me. And so throughout the beginning of my entrepreneurial career, a lot of the reason I was doing what I was doing was for the recognition of other people to, again, look like a somebody. So that's why, you know, I went out and bought a Rolex and a Mercedes, and I ate at all the nicest restaurants, and I'd, you know, buy tables at, you know, all the nicest clubs everywhere I went, and doing all this different types of stuff. And that's really where I got a lot of my self-worth from. And it wasn't until I lost everything the first time, lost it multiple times, that I was stripped away of my identity. And I had a complete ego, like, death, frankly, because I kind of put myself as this like young, successful person who'd like figured all these things out. And then I went from making 50 grand a month to nothing because the company shut down, but my expenses were still really high and I didn't save the right way because I thought the money was never going to go away. Right. And so I was in a really difficult place, you know, like I had to go into debt and, you know, I had to, it was just a tough time. And I had to learn a lesson, you know. I think that, again, everything in life happens for a reason. And I think that God was trying to communicate to me that I needed to realign my priorities. And I used to say that my priorities were like faith, family, freedom. And like freedom to me is money, you know, because I think that's how you get, like, we live in this organized society, right? Where like money determines basically everything, the house you live in, the car you drive, the food you eat, like the places you can travel, like it really does determine your freedom. And so I looked at money as that. But what I realized is that those weren't actually my priorities, because remember, like we said this in the beginning, like your actions reflect your true priorities. So even though I said that my priority was faith, family, and freedom, I didn't go to church at all. You know, like I never opened my Bible. I hadn't seen my family in like a while. Like I missed Christmases. I missed this. I missed that, you know, because I was sacrificing for my success. And then when I lost all of that, I realized all these people who I thought were, you know, my friends really were there for just the benefit of, you know, being around me. You know, they were beneficiaries of my status and of my money. You know, I'd pay for all their stuff and different things like that. And those people weren't there anymore. And so I was really stripped down, you know, to my bare bones, and I had to like reassess. And that's when I kind of gave my life to God. And I was like, you know what, like, I realized that I've been down the wrong path. You know, like you entrusted me with all of these things, and I wasn't a good steward of the resources. And so I had to have a really hard talk with myself, and I had to face myself in the mirror and realize that I messed up in a really big way. And I started to reevaluate my life. And I started to put faith back in the beginning based on like my actions. You know, I started reading the word daily. I started going back to church, doing things. I started to prioritize my family. You know, like I stopped, you know, like, you know, trying to hook up with chicks and doing stuff like that, you know, and I wanted to like find a wife, you know, someone that I could build a life around. I started to call my mom more and like see how she was doing. You know, like I heard this guy, Jesse Itzler. He's like, you think about it, if you only see your parents, you know, like twice a year, and they're around and they're like, you know, let's say they're 60 years old or 50 years old. You know, the average person lives till 80, right? So if you see them twice a year and they're 60 years old, you know, that means you have 40 more encounters with your parents until they die. 40 more, you know, and that's crazy to think about. And so when you kind of have that mindset, it really makes you appreciate them. And it also helped me realize that like, family is family. Like friends can like, you know, come and go and different things like that. But like, you know, if you're blessed enough to have family that's there, it's like don't take that stuff for granted. And so what I did is I reevaluated my life. I reassessed my priorities and I started to rebuild it around those three things and actually doing it the right way this time with like faith, family, and freedom. And I can't say that I've got it all figured out because like, again, like I still have that part of me that like wants to be liked and wants to be loved and wants to be like, you know, looked up to and like, you know, the ego part of me that wants the recognition and stuff. But I can confidently say that I have come a long way there. And, and I think that when I die, that's something that I'm going to be proud of. You know, like when I think of like my 85-year-old self, you know, if he was talking to my 31-year-old self right now, I think he would be telling me to give myself more credit for that. And to not define my character and my identity and whom I am as much like around as much of like what I have, because that's like, that's a lot of what I did. And that's, it's a slippery slope, you know, it really, really is. And so I would just encourage anybody that's, you know, wanting to go be successful and like go do all these different types of things. It's like, don't always rush it, you know, because all the glitter isn't gold, frankly. You know, I do think you got to get yourself some money. You know, I do think you got to get some freedom in this world. 100%. I agree with that. But oftentimes, you know, you get there and you're like, wait a second, I thought I was going to be happy if I'm here now. And then you still feel empty because you realize that it's not about the money. You know, it's so much more than that. There's like the real things that matter in life are, you know, your relationships, is your health, relationship with your family, your God, your whoever it is for you, you know. It's just, at least for me, that's what it really was. And so yeah.
Oh, that's powerful, bro. I thank you for sharing that, man, for being just transparent and also vulnerable too as well, man. I love that. And I love that, you know, like you say, man, faith, family, freedom. And I know that's always been, especially like the last few years, you know, you've always mentioned that, and especially family, faith is truly, truly something important to you, comes freedom too as well. I know that recently, man, not too long ago, you got a chance to sit down with your guy, man, Kevin yeah. Trudeau. I know, I think the last interview we did, you talked a lot about his principles and everything of that nature. So yeah. How was that, man, just being able to finally meet him? What was the one conversation or some advice he may gave you to be able to allow you to continue your path too as well, man? So you can kind of share that. You ain't got to really break down a lot, but just whatever you feel as you're comfortable with.
Yeah, absolutely. So his audio, like Your Wish is Your Command, was one of the most impactful audios that I've listened to. You know, it really set down like the foundational principles of how to think, I think, around success, really reshaped a lot of my paradigms and my beliefs. And to this day, I go back to that audio. I know he has a bunch of other stuff out there and different things. Can't really speak on a ton of that stuff because I haven't dove into it, frankly. But like that one particular audio, man, is has been just so incredible and impactful in my life. And so being able to meet him was really cool for me because I was able to just give him his flowers. You know, it's like when someone gives you has an impact on you and some advice that they give you, like really helps you out. And you never get a chance to tell them that. Right. And that was cool, you know, to be able to just meet him and share my appreciation with him for the information that he provided and, you know, some of the things that he had shared. And, you know, I was sharing with him some of the fruits. And so that's just really cool, you know, to be able to do that and be able to meet somebody that, you know, has had that type of an impact on you. That was just really, really a blessing in itself. And then the conference itself, one really interesting thing that he talked about in the conference that was like a really big takeaway for me was just and I talked about this a little bit in the beginning about like the awareness side of things, is that it's like how you have to, like the first start of success is getting angry. And it's getting angry at your situation, because a lot of things that he talked about in his audio is like the secret is to feel good now, right? He talks about how like everything is energy. Your brain is a receiver and transmitter of frequencies, and whatever frequency you're putting out, you attract back into your life. So that's where the idea that like you become what you think about, right? Or, you know, whatever the mind of man can conceive and get itself to believe, you can can achieve, or, you know, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. You know, it's this, that's what these principles are about, is that your brain actually has the ability to create your reality, you know, and with the way that you think. And it was a lot about feeling good, you know, because if you're thinking negative thoughts, you're going to attract negative circumstances, events, situations, and people. But if you think positive, you're going to attract positive things. And that was something that I kind of live by. But he talks about how in the beginning, you have to get angry at first, you know, and the analogy that he made was, he's like, think about like when you start a car. Well, I'm starting a car. It's like, I first have to like turn the ignition switch on. And then like the ignition switch, there's that spark plug that goes, that gets the car rolling. And then it's like, once the car is rolling, you don't like keep the thing turned, you know, like if you keep it turned, it actually will ruin the engine. You know, but you have to like get it started. You have to have that first ignition thing. And like, that's what he talked about, is that like a lot of people are too tolerant of their situations. They're focusing on like the positive thinking about it. And that's good, but they haven't gotten pissed off enough at first, right? It's like, you're trying to drive the car, but you haven't turned the car on. Type stuff. And that was something that I really realized in my life, that sometimes I get a little bit too tolerant of things. I'm like, I'm so good at positive thinking that I ignore the problems, you know, like I don't embrace it enough. And I get a little bit naive sometimes. And you can't do that. You know, you have to be very aware, you have to be very vigilant, and you have to have a very low tolerance for anything that isn't to your standard in life. And that was kind of a clarifying point, you know, that he made, that really resonated with me, and something that I've kind of now applied to my philosophy that changes kind of like the way that I operate on things.
Nah, indeed. I know that was a moment for you, man. It's the time, like you say, to go out there and be able to connect with someone whose audios you've been listening to, someone you've been studying, something that's kind of changed just your journey, you know, drastically for the better. So I thank you for sharing that, man. And I know we just got a little bit of time left. So fatherhood, man. So, you know, congratulations to you, man. How is it, man? I know Tara is truly grateful for you and Maddie. So how is it, man? What is something you're learning about yourself in today's age of being this new father?
Dude, fatherhood is the best thing ever. That's what I think. I mean, the first thing is that children are amazing. I think that, yes, there are maybe a few people who are called to being single and not having a family, but I encourage everyone to become a father, to have a family, because it is a love that is unlike anything that I've experienced. It's so interesting how like it makes a lot of like what you hear in like in religion make a lot more sense. Like in the Christian religion, like they call like God the Father, right? And then we're his children. And like, that's an interesting thing that I didn't really understand why people said that. But now, like when I feel my love for my child, it helps me realize like the love that God has for us. And I think that that's such a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. The other thing that's so interesting about children is how pure they are. You know, like her joy is so pure. It is like when she just smiles and when she laughs, like it is so contagious. It is absolutely insane. And I love that, because she's not tainted by anything in this world. And we live in a dark world, you know, and people's, you know, kind of like purity can get tainted. And it's refreshing to be around that type of energy. And that type of mind that's just so curious, and watching her grow and learn. And one of my favorite lessons that I've learned from her is perseverance. Because, you know, children, they don't know what failure is, right? Like if a child tries to stand up, for example, that's like the phase that she's in right now. It's like she's crawling and now she's trying to stand up. And she tries to stand up and then she falls down. She tries to stand up, she falls down. She tries to stand up and falls down. And never once in her mind does she think, maybe standing up isn't for me, because I've fallen down so many times, right? Like that's never a thought that even goes in her mind. It's just try again, try again, try again, try again, try again, try again. And you just keep trying until one day you freaking stand up, you know? And then now I'm standing up, now let's walk. All right, I'm gonna try, and then you fall, but then you get back up and you do it again. And so kids have, specifically like children, she's 7 months, have no conception of failure, they don't know that like they're not supposed to fail. Because I think that we are, I think failure is like a made up thing almost. Like what even is failure? It's like, okay, you tried something, it didn't work out. Okay, fine. Try it again. You know, like that's just, you just keep going, you know? And if you just keep trying and you keep persevering, you can make anything happen if you don't freaking quit. And she's reminded me of that, you know, and everything that she goes out there and does. And then seeing her just develop is such a reminder that we as humans, we can learn, you know. I think a lot of people look at their life as adults and they stop learning. They think, oh, this is who I am, you know, and they just accept that. But like, we can always learn. We can always grow. We can always change. We can always evolve. And I think that that's a really important lesson, you know, for humans to do. And I pray that I always have that childish spirit where I have that childish curiosity, that desire for growth, that commitment to persistence, you know. And so, yeah, she's teaching me so much. It's truly remarkable.
Nah, I love that, man. I just love the bond that y'all have too, as well. It's just growing, you know. And I love that, man. I'm happy, excited, I'm proud of you, bro. I know it's something new, but you someone who just know how to adjust and make it something great, right? You know. So I love that for you, bro. My last and final question, man. As we know that we always have to leave a place better than we found it, leave a community better than we found it. What is something you want to leave better than you found it?
I mean, this is very macro, but like, my goal is just to leave the world a better place than I found it. You know, like that's the goal, you know, and whether or not that's just by raising an incredible child that goes and brings value to the world, you know, like, and I do it through that, amazing. If I do that through my clients, by finding an incredible client and being able to serve them and amplify their message to go impact other people, that's amazing. If it's my voice, you know, through these podcasts, and I can go and there's someone that's listening on the other end and they get inspired and they go take some work, then that's amazing. You know, like that's just my goal, is like, I just want to leave the world a better place than I found it. And I think that should be everyone's goal, you know? And if everyone just had that simple goal, you know, we can collectively really create some incredible, incredible things. And I think, like, if I'm looking at like a specific area, you know, where it's like, okay, well, that's very broad. Where's like one area, if you could choose, that like you would want to go and impact, you know, I would love to have an impact in education. I think that our education system right now teaches us what to think and not how to think. And I think learning how to think is very important, and it's not taught in schools. But it's so essential. And so if I can teach people how to think, then, or have a little bit of an impact on that, that would be really inspiring to me, because I think when people think accurately, they act, or when people think right, they act right. And the problem is that most people aren't thinking right. And so if we can just change that one thing, you know, in people, it changes everything. And so I think that's like a core, foundational thing that could be really powerful and really cool.
Nah, indeed. Absolutely. Beautiful said. Absolutely, man. Luke, if you just leave us all, but we can continue to follow and support you, man. You know, or so, and just continue to be there, man. You did some incredible work inside these areas, these industries, but also outside of that too, man. You're truly, truly a, like I say, man, just a pioneer. You're someone who's continuously making a difference and has made a difference, leaving a mark, man. And I know little one is really learning from you on a daily basis. So if you could just leave us your social media and how we continue to support you and your journey, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, man. So my Instagram handle is Luke_Hessler. Same thing on Twitter, same thing on Threads. My LinkedIn is just Luke Hessler. Same with my Facebook, same with my YouTube. So you guys can find me there. My company is Ace Branding. And if you guys are a entrepreneur, thought leader, business owner that's looking to get featured in major media like NASDAQ, Forbes, USA Today, I would love to have a conversation with you about that. And yeah, feel free to reach out to me. Or if you just have any questions about anything, you know, feel free to reach out and we can connect.
No, absolutely. I love that, man. Hey, man, a book got to come from you soon, man. I definitely be on the lookout for that, man. Your story goes a long way, honestly. But guys, that's my guy, my brother, my friend, Mr. Luke Kessler. Tremendous individual. So connect with him, support his mission and his journey, all that he got going on to come into 2024 and beyond. If you haven't already, guys, please subscribe to the show to Inspire Before We Expire. Leave us a review. Leave us a message in regards to what truly inspired you from the segment and from this particular session and this interview that we had today as well. But until then, guys, take the information in, implement, share with a friend, share with someone who may not have been able to listen with you today. You just never know how it can truly, truly impact their life and move them in the right direction as well. Learning to, as Luke said in the beginning, learning to know that every rejection also has a redirection as well. So don't be so much fazed by the rejection and by the no's, because sometimes you need that to fuel you even more to push towards that one yes that can be game changing. So this was the interview here with Luke. The third time is always the charm. And I'm glad we got to really, really dive in deep. And I'm truly grateful for just the connection, the friendship, and the brotherhood. Love you, brother. So, guys, this is the Inspire Before We Expire, and we're out. Woo! I'm in.